Good afternoon. Today we're going to continue on in Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 21, but I want to start off with a brief introduction into the text. I've shared the gospel with many different types of people, Muslims, Hindus, Catholics, JWs, Mormons, witches, and the list could go on. So I decided to do, you know, some real major research on world religion. I went to the largest library in the world called google.com, and I found my way to Wikipedia, and the solid, dependable book of Wikipedia says, religions tend to derive morality, ethics, religious laws, or a preferred lifestyle from their ideas about the cosmos and human nature. And according to some estimates, there are roughly 4,200 religions in the world. Well, there may well be 4,200 different names to religion out there, but according to God's word, there are really only two religions. Religions of work and the true religion of grace. And so, you see, the world knows, according to God's word, right from wrong, according to Romans 2. They have God's law written on their hearts, and they know God exists. They have eternity written on their hearts. But they suppress this truth and grow callous to the law as they see general revelation. They forget. And we come along declaring to individuals as we share the gospel, you need to be saved. And they say, from what? I'm a good person. I have a reasonable life. I'm all set. But little do they know, they have this festering infection that would do them great harm. So we need to be able to be prepared from the Bible to point out to them their sin in a loving way and their need of a Savior. So, verse 21, Paul begins and he says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. So once we point out their sin as all of Romans 1, 2, and 3 cover, what is the good news? Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. So, Paul is entering this good news, and we learn a lot of things about God's righteousness in this text. Number one, it is not new. It was witnessed by the law. So God's Old Testament pointed forward to justification by faith in God's promise all along. People were saved by faith. Abraham was justified by faith. And the prophets. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, would be despised and rejected, would not have a bone broken, would be lifted up on a tree, would be killed with criminals, would be pierced, would be buried in a rich man's tomb, would not undergo decay, would rise from the dead. These are simply 10 prophecies of hundreds, his lineage, and so on. So we learn this righteousness from God is not new. And number two, we also learn that it's not our own. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God. So this righteousness provided and needed is not of our own selves. Rather, it is God's. What are some wonderful implications of this righteousness being God's? Well, it's perfect, it is sufficient, it is everlasting, and it is acceptable. We can rejoice in these great truths. And it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We'll take a minute and talk about faith. Faith is dependent. It's a rope holding you up on a rock wall, a placing of one's weight on a chair. It is an acknowledgement. It's recognizing and voicing your belief. It's not something you have always just had. No, you were born in sin. David had it right when he said, in sin I was conceived. It's a placing of one's belief, mentally and emotionally. It's not all emotional, for very often emotional fades away, but it's not simply mental, for if you have truly found salvation from your sins, an eternity in hell, and truly believe it, there will be an emotional side to it. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Another thing we learn about this justification, or this righteousness, is it is indiscriminate. The verse continues and says, for all who believe, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I believe Paul takes a reversed argument in logic in a way. Listen, I made the point that all men are sinners, no matter their position of the written law, as God's chosen nation or as Greeks having the law written on their hearts. All men from every tongue, tribe, and nation face the same punishment as those who have fallen short of God's unique excellence as a perfect holy being. And therefore, God offers salvation to all men without discrimination. If he judges indiscriminately, he will save indiscriminately. Number four, we learn what it is called. Verse 24, being justified. This righteousness of God is justification. This justification comes as a gift. It is given freely. It comes by His grace. It is given in spite of us. And number 5, we learn of the cost of this righteousness through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation. In order for mankind to be redeemed, God made a plan. As the bronze serpent was lifted up in the wilderness to heal all those bitten by the snakes, so must the Son of Man be lifted up to draw men to Himself who are lost in their sins. And we learn that this propitiation made is in Jesus' blood. 1 Peter 1 verse 18 says, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. So how do we receive this righteous gift from God, this righteousness, this justification? It is through faith. Nothing you do. No. Your justification is received through faith in Jesus Christ. So I close with this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Salvation from your sins comes through one source, faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous one.